come to item two now. Application number P/18/1401/2, and that is the erection of a detached building to form 7 flats with car parking and associated works at 5 Cumberland Road.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, and I'm going to hand it over, and I hope I'm going to pronounce this correctly, to Mr. Nalamili.
It is, but ready is fine as well.
Oh, no, we like to be formal at planning.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. This second item on your committee agenda, as the Chair explained, relates to the development of land adjacent to No. 5 Cumberland Road. And it's a revised scheme for one that you considered approximately this time last year. And it involves the erection of 7 one-bedroom self-contained flats. Thank you. The first thing I want to show you is the site plan. As you can see, the site is located on Cumberland Road. The site itself is outlined in red. At its junction with Ferron Street, which is along here. So Cumberland Road is here, Ferron Street is along there. The site itself is outlined in red. One of the things I want to point out to you is that the applicant also owns the property No. 5 Cumberland Road. That was his family home. The site is also close to Ashby Road, which is a major route to and from the town centre. As you can see from the site location plan, the locality itself is predominantly residential in character. Numbers 3 and 5 Cumberland Road, located here, form a pair of semi-detached dwellings. The wider area, including Ferron Street, consists mainly of attractive rows of terrace houses and pairs of semi-detached dwelling houses. I just want to go through some figures with you so you understand about separation distances. Where my pointer is marked at the moment, that's the gable end of No. 5 Cumberland Road, and the distance from there to the properties opposite on Ferron Street is approximately 26 metres. But the distance between the proposed edge of the building, which is the distance put in the report, along the edge there to those properties is 16 metres. In the scheme itself, there's also a gap between No. 5 Cumberland Road and the development itself. And I just wanted to highlight that the gap is approximately 3.5 metres. The site is within the Ashby Conservation Area, and St. Peter's Church, which is located here, is listed Grade 2. As I said to you, the site is within the conservation area. The black dotted line indicates the boundary of the conservation area, and I'm just highlighting where the site itself is in relation to that particular conservation area. I've pointed out St. Peter's Church is at listed Grade 2, and I should also point out Rosebery School here, located here, is also listed Grade 2. I've taken a number of photographs to show you of the site. I just want to quickly just go through the 5 photographs that I've taken with you, and I just want to quickly let you know where I've taken the photographs from. I've taken one from this corner looking into the development site. One has to be taken further up looking across on Cumberland Road from that side there. Another photograph is taken from the junction of Cumberland Road and Ferron Street looking across the site in that direction. Then another photograph is taken from the site next to the development site, looking across the properties all along Ferron Street as well. And the final photograph shows the properties is closer, taken from Ashby Road, and takes you of the site, what it looks like at the moment, with the properties on numbers 5, 3 and 1 Cumberland Road. So turning to the photographs. As you can see, this is the development site. That is number 5 Cumberland Road in the background, which is owned by the applicant. And as you see, a key feature of that site is that virtually a 1.82-metre high boundary wall. Members should know that this boundary wall is actually going to be altered. It's actually has a number of defects in it, so it is in danger of collapsing. But they're actually going to alter that wall to make it into a like a dwarf wall surrounding the perimeter of the site. Beyond that, there'll be some landscaping introduced as well. The second photograph, walking further up Cumberland Road, just shows the site from Cumberland Road. That's number 5, Cumberland Road. And there's a gated access here with sort of timber gates, and it's this area here is actually, I need to draw to your attention, as even though it's an amenity area of that area, it's used for parking purposes by the occupiers of that property at the moment. I also wanted to point out the windows in the gable end of this elevation on number 5, because concern was raised before about the impact of those windows. I need to sort of explain to members that the same rooms, the primary windows are actually at the front of those. So on the ground floor, that's served by this big, huge bay window, and these windows on the first floor are served by that window there on the first floor, fronting Cumberland Road. That's taken from the corner of Ferron Street and Cumberland Road, looking back onto the site, which is here. And also pointing out this is the end gable wall of Ferron's, bear with me, 18 Ferron Street. Again, I'm looking back at the properties that face onto the site along Ferron Street. This is the area that's being developed. Across the road, you can see rows of terrace housing, pairs, semis, with attractive in their own setting for that era. The final photograph, again, this is the development site looking onto Ferron Street. Looking across at Cumberland Road at the development site, you've got number 5, number 3, and then number 1, which is a detached villa. The first plan I have for you is a ground floor plan. Just to highlight a few things on this particular plan. The applicants propose to actually provide 2 flats within this structure. So you've got a flat at the front and a flat at the back at ground floor. Each flat would have a separate entrance. So this would be off Cumberland Road, which runs along this way, and Ferron Street along there. And you can see that's a separate entrance for that flat as well. I also want to draw to your attention that there are separate entrances for the flats on the upper floors from Ferron Street from this entrance here. And also a separate entrance for flats above off Cumberland Road. So there is quite a lot of pedestrian sort of activity, connectivity with the street scene, and it's in sort of scale and in the rhythm what's happening generally in the sort of terraced environment. The other important thing on this revised plan is that we've gone into some detail as part of our discussions about bin storage, about cycle storage. So what you'll get is basically covered bin stores being allocated to the various occupiers. So you've got bin stores at the front for this occupier of this flat here, another bin store for flat 2, and those bin stores would be accessible for the flats above. And there's also a communal bin area, which again will be subject to detail for use by the other occupiers and also for the occupants of numbers 5 Cumberland Road. The other important thing I need to say is that the boundary wall, which I referred to earlier on Ferron Street, is actually being punctuated through to create a new vehicle access. There's an existing garage on the site, and that's being removed, so it's not as if there's a totally new access. And what you've got is 6 spaces at the back of the site, 2 spaces that are basically like a covered carport, 1 and 2 here. And you've also got a space at the front off Cumberland Road. So what they're actually providing is 1 flat. Each flat has 1 parking space. And I've pointed out in my presentation that that it is classed as a sustainable location, and I think that having one parking space per flat is reasonable, and that's the advice that I've given them, based on also advice from the County Council Highways Authority as well. So we've taken a lot of account into bin storage, making this as a flatted scheme that we think we can make it work. Again, we've also, in the layout of the flats, part of the discussions in our workshops that we had together was basically making sure the key windows would serve the key habitable rooms as well. This is a plan of the first and second floor layouts. On the first floor, you've got flat four, behind that flat five, and then there's also flat three at the back on the first floor. The second floor itself contains two other separate flats which are accessed off Cumberland Road. Okay. This is the street elevation. If you stood on Ferron Street, what you'd actually see, this is number 18, and that's part of the existing terrace group of properties that already exists. And this is how it would appear on the street scene along Ferron Street. We've gone into a lot of details to remove a lot of things that members were concerned about with the previous design. We've made it more domestic. We've added on features to copy or replicate, should I say, some of the more interesting design features on the terrace. So, for example, they've introduced dummy chimneys there. Where the previous scheme had flat roofs, we've said no, introduced pitch roofs. And also the amount of zinc that was incorporated to try and give it a different quality and a different feel to the site, we've limited that as well. And the other important thing as well to point out is that we've tried to address the street scene because it's on a corner location. Part of the guidance that we gave as the design officers was to try and make sure that it made a statement in its own grounds, but it made a statement in keeping with the character and respecting what's there already. The bottom plan shows the view from Cumberland Street. So this is the actual new build, and that's the existing properties being shown at numbers 5 and numbers 3, Cumberland Road. Again, I need to sort of show you that it's important that you pick up on the height differentials between the properties. We introduced pitch roofs. In the report itself, it sort of outlines a plethora of all the design changes that we've asked for. So I'm not proposing to go for every single change, but we did ask for lots and lots of changes to the scheme. I'd also refer to three important conditions in the report. One to do with landscaping, one to do with getting samples of materials, and we've also asked for details of the actual the core principles of how it's all going to be put together and assembled, window details, how they're going to be recessed, to give that kind of different quality and different feel to the building, and try and respect its sort of existing, late sort of Victorian sort of architecture. Again, this is the side elevation of the property facing onto number 5 Cumberland Road. And this is the bottom elements which are marked northeast elevations. That's the existing properties on Cumberland Road. This is the new build that you're looking at, and this is the view that faces onto number 18 Ferron Street. And the dark shaded area is just where two of the spaces I mentioned about parking spaces being put under like a carport, and that's where they're being provided. That's what the impression of the scheme would be, given it sort of a 3D sort of modelling exercise. You can see that the existing pairs of semi-detached housings, numbers 5 and 3 there, which will be safeguarded, and parking space allocated there at the front on Cumberland Road. The existing dwarf wall being retained, the existing boundary wall being retained and restructured into a boundary wall, a dwarf boundary wall with landscaping set behind it, which is all conditioned. I just wanted to show you what you considered on the previous scheme. So this elevation shows you Ferron Street, what the previous scheme that you looked at and refused it on, as a reminder. So you've got the Cumberland Road block here on the bottom level, and that was a piece scheme. So what I'm trying to highlight is that, you know, your officers have spent an incredible amount of time with their design architects, with the applicant. And I also have to point out that we also had a design workshop with the local residents, Story Road Residents Association and residents. And ideas that they came up with were put into the design of the proposal. Not everything could be included, but we did as much as we could as officers to try and address what the residents were saying to us. Again, this is the old plan that you refused. You can see the difference, no pitch roofs, addition of zinc, flatted roofs, the difference there. Sorry, Pat, I just need to stop this and get into that. Because I didn't know where it was saved. It's on the desktop. That's the one. Thank you. Thanks a lot. What I've prepared for you is a little fly-through to show the scheme in its context for you. Thank you. A few final points. Just to summarise them, the principle of the development is considered acceptable. Acceptable for the reasons outlined in page 37 of the report before you. In terms of the impact on visual amenities, and in particular the impact on the street scene, the current scheme, in your office's views, represents a significant departure from the previous scheme. A lot of thought has gone into this scheme. We've worked with your constituents. The scheme reflects your committee's policies requiring high standards of design to be achieved. The second issue I wanted to flag out as well is the impact on heritage. The report has been considered with regard to the impact on the Ashby Road conservation area and the setting of the listed buildings I've referred to. For the reasons outlined on pages 39 and 40 in the report, the conclusions that your officers have reached is that the proposals would preserve and enhance the character and appearance of the conservation area by responding to local character and producing a scheme of visual interest. And by using quality materials. The result is considered to have less than substantial harm to heritage assets. The other key issue relates to the impact on amenity. As I pointed out, you know, I accept that there will be some loss of light to the adjoining occupiers. However, you know, this situation isn't unusual. The rooms are served by other windows which act as a primary sources of light. Furthermore, the applicant is going to carry out works to number 5, Cumberland Road, internal works as well to improve the property. The report on page 41 goes into more detail why we think that the amenity issues are acceptable, that they wouldn't have a significant adverse impact to warrant refusal on amenity grounds. The final issue I wanted to just highlight as well is to remind members that the development would provide a parking space for each flat, a total of 7 parking spaces. The Highway Authority, we've worked closely with them, has raised no objections, and I would draw your attention to page 43 of the report of why there are no objections raised on parking or highway safety grounds. It's the 4th paragraph on page 43. The conclusions reached is that the revised scheme would comply with the spirit of your committee's policies, and the revised national planning policy guidance. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. We have 2 speakers to this application. The first speaker is an objector, Ms. Penny Pullen. Would you like to come forward, please, Ms. Pullen? when you're ready.
Hi everyone, I'm Penny. I fell in love with the Victorian house at the top end of Cumberland Road so much that I bought number one in 2004. I live there with my family, just 10 steps from the site we're considering. Thank you so much for letting me speak on behalf of my family and also SARG. It's a horrible rainy evening. We could all be at home, but we're here because we're committed to working together to make our town as good as it can be and to meet the need for homes in a way that works for all, not just for the developers. In the past, we worked together, residents, planners and councillors, to create the Ashby Road Conservation Area. We residents would welcome a chance. Now, I didn't know anything about a workshop, I'm afraid. I would like to work alongside the applicant, architects and planners, to come up with something different that really meets the needs for new homes while preserving and enhancing the appearance of our area. Because they should preserve or enhance the area. And it's worked so far. There are new homes on George Street that fit the street scene. They shouldn't cause harm in their impact. This one apparently causes less harm than the hideous design of last time, but harm nonetheless. Have a look at, if you look at the photo of Furin Street, the side that this property will be on, all the houses are exactly at the same level. They're flat. It's a straight line down the fronts. This one goes in and out, sometimes by big chunks, sometimes by bricks. The corner feature looks more like an office block, I think. The building is an overdevelopment of the site. If you include the existing house, there could be 21 people living on that block. That's five times higher than the average number of occupants for plots in the row. But worse than that is a negative impact on the amenities of number 5 Cumberland Road through loss of light and proximity. I only had a 19-page report, so my page numbers might not fit. The planners say on page 12 that this doesn't matter as the affected bedrooms have front elevation windows. I've been inside. The side bedrooms don't. The major window is the one looking out on the side. You see the second one back, that bedroom has nothing going forward. That's the main window. The students who live at number 5 will lose out. The ones living in side rooms currently overlooking a garden will look out instead on a wall 2 to 3 stories high. It is only 1.2 metres from their window, not 3.5. 1.2 metres, that's 4 foot in old money. Something like this? You know, to have that immediately outside your large sash window, boom, that far away, there's a 3-storey wall. Look at the southeast elevation to see the 3-storey wall. Then look at the ground floor plan to see how it is just over a metre from the window. Just imagine the impact on their mental health. The current students say lack of natural light is awful. It makes you tired and depressed. Surely we can do better for the students who come to our town, our future ambassadors for Loughborough in the world, than making them live with high walls immediately outside their window. At the moment, the students can park 4 cars in the garden. All those parking spaces would be lost. They would have to park in our already congested road and pay for the privilege. And have you seen how close the bin storage area is to the windows of the existing house? You know we have bi-weekly collections now. It's gonna stink. They've only got 2 bins set aside for that 7-person house on 5 Cumberland Road. There's another mistake in the planner's report. On page 14, on my 19-page report, they say that number 5 will still have a garden comparable to the other properties in the area. But they've made a mistake. Have a look at the ground floor plan. There is no garden at all. 1 minute. Okay. Other houses have space for student parties, for trampolines and sitting outside. I know I live next door. The equivalent space is taken up with car parks 4, 5 and 6 and a bike park. There is no garden. The conservation area states that gardens provide valuable and important private spaces to residents. There's no private space or garden for up to 21 people here. As such, the planners can no longer consider the proposals acceptable, as they do when they state there is a garden. So, councillors, in the end, it's down to you. Please be courageous, as many of you have been before. Will you reject a planner's report with a number of mistakes which actually affect the outcome? You know, this is a window 4 feet from a bedroom. And, yep. Will you choose not to ruin the lovable experience of many future generations of students living in number 5 through lack of light and proximity of a building 4 feet from their window? Will you reject a building that causes harm, less than before, but still harm, to a conservation area?
Thank you very much. Our next speaker is Mr. Andrew Hardy, who is the agent and will speak on behalf of the developer.
Madam Chair, members, thank you for the invitation to be able to speak today. Following refusal by the committee of the previous application approximately a year ago, the revised proposal before you today seeks to address the design issues that you raised, that were raised by the committee at the time. The team have worked closely with your professional officers on numerous amendments and design changes. The ward member has also been consulted prior to the application being submitted, and we've met constructively with representatives of the SAG group. There have been numerous amendments and negotiations to the design, including raising the floor levels, raising the eave levels to more accurately align with those of Fearon Street. Window proportions have been amended to be more consistent with the conservation area. And significantly, the flat roof, which was objected to, has been changed to a pitch roof and more accurately reflects the local characteristics of the vernacular of the conservation area. Traditional chimney has also been added to reflect those adjacent. Traditional brick detailing is now included across the whole of the scheme, reflecting those found within the conservation area. A lot of this will be subject to condition if you're minded to approve this. Concerns regarding the bins have been addressed in close consultation with your officers and also discussed in detail with those SAG representatives that we met. Your officers have investigated the loss of light issues in detail with the applicant and have confirmed that the side windows in question are likely to become windows to ensuite bathrooms in the future when the developer inserts those in the refurbishment of number 5. And, of course, these don't require planning consent. The Highway Authority, as before, has no objection to the scheme. In conclusion, the resulting scheme seeks to address the committee's concern regarding design within the conservation area, and substantial changes have been made to it. We believe it is consistent with current and retained local and national planning policy and hope members are able to support the modified scheme to provide much-needed housing and investment that this town so desperately needs. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hardy. We have no more speakers, so I come now to the committee, please. I have the following on my list so far: Councillor Bentley, Councillor Seaton, Councillor Lowe, Councillor Bebbington, Councillor Fryer. Does anyone? I have then Councillor Tassel and Councillor Snart, thank you, and Councillor Campbell. I'll start with you then, please, Councillor Bentley.
Thank you, Chair. Well, 12 months ago, I think what was presented to us 12 months ago must only be described as a pig's ear. This, by contrast, is a silk purse. I think this is absolutely excellent. I think the designers and the officers have done a right good job on this. I have absolutely no doubt in my mind that we should pass this wholeheartedly. So I propose move officer recommendation to permit.
Second that, Chair.
Councillor Seaton, please.
Thank you very much, Chair. Well, all I can say is well done. I do like it. I have sympathy with SAG, but you can't copy you know, you can't copy houses. You can't completely replicate them. And I think this has done an excellent job. I like the different levels of the roofs. I'm hoping that the coping stones will go back onto the wall the way that they are done. I like the wall, how it's not all one level. I'm hoping that's not just artist's impression, that they will be at different levels. What else have I put? Oh, right. Yeah, you can't copy them, but you can share features. And I like the fact that they have shared features and borrowed them from other places. Now, we're going back to the bin stores here. Okay, so there's two that flats that will have entrances from this Cumberland Road that we're looking at. So I'm presuming that their bin will be outside there, because I saw it on the actual... Yeah, we've got... Is the four there, or... Oh, it's one green and one black, yeah. So my initial thought was, I'm hoping that that wall would be taller than the bins, than the wheelie bins. So I'm hoping that that is. And because all the other houses around, I presume, have got entries, and they can take their bins in. So there'll be no bins on the road. So I'm just hoping that these will be hidden out of view as well. So I think it's done really well. Excellent. Well done.
Thank you, Councillor Seaton. Councillor Lowe, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to ask how these councillors got in front of me. I thought I was really quick there. I think we've done a fantastic job, Chair, and I think we should all be pleased with ourselves for refusing the last application 12 months ago. Well done to the officers. Fantastic report. Respect to Penny. Obviously, she spoke very well, but, you know, I'm not going to agree with her. And I think you've proposed and seconded already. So therefore, I will just go along with the officer's recommendation. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Bear with me. Councillor Bevington, please.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I'm not going to talk for long, because I obviously agree with what's been said. I was actually extremely impressed the way they'd used the slope and the position the heights of the roofs, so that it's not over-dominant. I thought that was very clever, and the fact you actually got a taller house, but it appears smaller than the house next door to it, I think was absolutely superb. And when we did the fly-through, I thought it looked excellent, and I hope it's as good in real life as it looks there. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Bevington. Councillor Fry, please.
Thank you very much. I'd like to also thank the officers and the applicants for the amount of work that's gone into this. This hasn't taken a short time. This is really what I imagine good planning should be, planning and design all working together. Fantastic. I do have a question on page 41. It was about the distance between the proposed flats and the properties on the opposite side of Fearon Street. Is the distance 21 metres ideally because it's in a conservation area? Because in the previous applicant, we were told it only had to be 15.5. So is this because it's a conservation area? I'd also like to endorse what Councillor Seaton said, in as much that hopefully any bins that have to be parked on the front behind the wall does screen them, or there is some form of screening for it, and also to encourage everybody who has got an access to through entries to put their bins away to please do so. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Fryer. Mr. Nalamilly, would you like to respond to what you've heard so far, please?
Thank you, Chair, through you. Beginning with the 21-metre separation distance, this is a general guideline that most planning authorities use when we're looking at separation distances from first-floor windows to give some kind of privacy. and it's what we normally use in new development, assessing it in terms of getting separation distances. It's not unique to conservation areas. What all we're saying in this particular case, look, it's a Victorian street, and the building itself is on the building line, existing building line more or less, and we're taking that into context in assessing it. But we think there's adequate separation distance to give residents of Furon Street privacy, and it's not something that they've raised as an issue in any case. The second point relates to bin stores. Yes, the answer is that we're not going to leave them as just bins being put in front of the houses. The applicants themselves and their architects have designed bin stores to actually put the bins in there, so that should be covered so you wouldn't see bins along that street scene. It's something that they want, so there's something special for their scheme. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Nalimele. I have Councillor Tassel, please.
Thank you. I think it's absolutely fantastic. If you look at the corner of this property and then look at the house on the corner of Cumberland Road and Ashby Road, they've actually tried to echo the corner of that house to bring it all in line. So you've got this one at one end and that at the other. And it really does look very, very good.
Councillor Stark, please.
Madam Chairman, thank you. Most of my colleagues have said the right things, I think, and I'm delighted the applicants came back and have looked at the things that we did say previously, and I think have come up with some solutions, and I'm pleased with the outcome that we've got here tonight. I think we owe it to Ms Pullen to just confirm about the windows, because she brought that up, and also the size of the garden at number 5. So if I, through you, Chairman, could just ask the officer just to go through that again, because I think when people have come here and said things, we ought to actually just respond to that, if I could.
Mr Rollabilly, please.
Through you, Chair. I do recognise there is an error in the report with regards to the garden. Unfortunately, when different officers look at reports, things are included by accident, and that shouldn't have been in there. So I do apologise for that issue. With regards to access to the windows, my understanding of the information supplied in all good faith from the architect and the applicant is that those are secondary windows, as you'd expect, on an end gable wall, and they are served with other rooms. And I'd also point out that the occupants themselves didn't object in any way whatsoever. Thank you.
Thank you. Councillor Campbell, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to mirror everybody else's comments. Last year's plan was awful compared to this. I'd like to thank officers for working together with the architect and coming up with this brilliant-looking building. But I'd just like to mention about biodiversity. I mean, I've lived in older parts of town, really old. I lived in Paget Street and I went to Rover Street School. And the wildlife wonders of living there is swifts that go around at night coming in the summer evenings. But this past 20 years have declined, and I'd just like to ask officers, have you added anything from the RSPB concerning these swift boxes that you can get now that fit into underneath the eaves of houses, which attract swifts to nest? Have you had anything like that? Or do you, in fact, ask developers to insert these nest boxes?
Through you, Chair. We can add on a condition to the landscaping details, encouraging developers to put sort of bird boxes and brick boxes necessary. Some of that we'd probably have to have a discussion with them. But I know the applicants are very amenable to biodiversity, incorporating as much as possible. They want it as an exemplar building. It's something that they're investing in Loughborough. And they wouldn't be immune to it, but that's something that we could take care of and put an extra point in the landscape that bird boxes typically provided.
So especially swift boxes, which are, yeah. And I believe our council's own contractor, Heidi Verdi, are doing a press release in the next two weeks about putting swift boxes in.
What I'll do through you, Chair, is if committee are minded to, with a number of conditions, with a landscaping condition, put an alteration, an extra sort of amendment for consideration to be given to bird boxes, and the applicants and architects are here and they know the nature of the type of bird boxes that you're looking at, and I'll give that clear thought. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. I am the ward member for Stora Ward, so I hope you will indulge me if I ask some questions on behalf, well, of myself and of my ward. First of all, I would like to echo what everyone else has said, that this is a much, much improved building than the barrack-like structure we were faced with last year. Truly awful, and this is much more in keeping with the surrounding vernacular architecture, and I do welcome this building very much. However, there are some issues I would like to raise. The bin spaces. Now, it says in the application that we've had before, there are spaces for some bins. I want to see spaces for all 14 bins. Well, perhaps not, actually. Perhaps with not everybody, well, not every flat will need a green bin, but we should have spaces for all the black bins and some green space, some green bins, should it be necessary. And those of you who were on the site visit may have seen me go down Cumberland Road and notice a black bin half on the pavement, half in the road, which I then dragged out of the road, righted it, closed the lid and put it back where I should be. Yes, I do deserve a round of applause. But this is an everyday occurrence in my ward. I mean, there are bins all over the place. They create a hazard on the pavement. And I trust that the applicant, it sounds trivial, but it's a really important issue, and I hope the applicant will deal with it in the proper manner. Car parking. I am still not convinced that there is room on the site for the number of cars that are proposed to put there. And cars who cannot get onto the site will be parked on the road. And it is already a residence preference area. So car parking is an issue in the ward. My next point is, in the application, it refers to the applicant saying that if this application is allowed, it will free up larger houses for use by families. And I really have to ask, is there any evidence of this? Have we been... And it also comes up in our next application, which I won't go into now, but this is said, it will free up houses. I don't see any evidence for that at all. And the other thing I have to raise is number 5. And you've seen on the pictures, the new application is lovely, and it's next to 5 Cumberland Road. And if we could see one of these nice pictures of the new block, that will do. You will see that it... No, I need the other one. Round, never mind. It's lovely. It looks absolutely super. Number 5 Cumberland Road next door doesn't look anything like that. Number 5 Cumberland Road looks a mess. There is a window lintel that is collapsing. The roof needs attention. And I appreciate that the applicant has given, has said that he will work on number 5 at the same time as the new building is being erected. I would like to know, do we have a definitive undertaking from the developer that work on number 5 Cumberland Road will be started and completed? I think that's all I've got to say. Over to you, Mr. Nalabili.
Thank you, Chair. The first area of concern that you raised was about bin stores. I'm just going to go back to the ground floor plan. The plan that's been submitted tries to put sort of covered bin stores along Furon Street and also Cumberland Road. Those are the frontage. Then we've got a communal bin area there. There is space to accommodate more bin stores. It's not something that I wanted to particularly condition, but if members feel quite strongly about it, they want to see more details of the bin stores, then that can be addressed by condition. So it's not something, it's not a sort of a major stopping point there. But I honestly believe that a lot of thought has gone into this with by the architect, you know, how people live there. And if you recall, I actually pointed out that it's not one communal entrance for the flats. They're all different entrances, all on Cumberland Road and on Furon Road. And it makes sense that if I lived in one of those flats and I wanted to empty my bins, rather than walk all the way back into the courtyard area, as long as it was a covered bin store, I'm quite happy to attach a condition so we get the details in, how members feel about it, and that's how I think that's the best way to address that is. With the car parking, again, I do share the concerns that you raise. I think you're quite right to raise them. The problem that I have as a planner is that I have to pay attention to what the planning policy has to say, what our own borough council policy has to say, and also what the MPPF has to say, and also sometimes I've taken into account what the county engineers have to say. There is no objections from each of those policy documents or from the county council. When you're in that kind of position, there's very little space to actually manoeuvre. A lot of things that have been done with the car parking, I think they've been very lucky to get 7 spaces. They are one-bedroom flats, and it's very difficult to ask for any more parking space. A, they can't provide them physically on the site. What they have said to me is that if there are more spaces that are required, then they'll have to actually be in a position of it's a controlled parking zone and having to apply for passes, and that's so we've had that discussion with the applicants. It's not something that we've just accepted at face value. Thank you. The applicant's point about freeing up larger housing, that was a point for them to make. I made a note of it, but it didn't really influence my sort of what I thought were the key material considerations for this particular planning application. It was more the issues that I raised and set up in the subheadings and the key issues. To me, the freeing up of housing, it's very, very unpredictable how houses are sold, who buys them. A lot of them are bought nowadays for rental purposes, investment purposes. And I was trying to avoid getting involved in those kind of arguments. I saw it purely as a private matter. This is like a standalone scheme, and I was quite satisfied that I was treating it in that kind of way. Okay. The final point you made, could you just remind me again?
Number 5.
To me personally, if the investment is going to, if the applicant and the architect are going to spend, you know, tens of thousands of pounds to actually redevelop this site, it'd be pointless to them to have a property that they control looking worse for wear, need of a bit of investment. And the discussions I've had with the architect is that they are seeking to basically improve the next door property. They understand that it is, it does need improving, and there are issues with it. It was the applicant's family home where he spent quite a lot of time there. So he does have a lot of personal pride from my conversations with him in that property. The problem that I have is that I can't provide you that insurances because this is separate from the planning application. He's indicated a red line plan where the development is. He's indicated a blue line plan showing me that he owns that property. I can't force him into it, but the applicant is here and the architect is here. They're listening to what you're saying, and I'd be very surprised if they didn't try to improve physical improvements to the adjoining property, but it's not something as a planning authority we can enforce against or control under this planning application. But they're listening and they understand the message that I'm giving to them, and they are nodding to me back, so they've understood. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. Unless anyone else wishes to speak, we will come to the vote then, please.
Without wishing to upset anybody, I do believe that the planning rules state if you leave the meeting whilst the debate.
Yes, just to clarify, yes, Councillor, I did get the spirit message. But just to clarify for the people in the gallery, perhaps, Councillor Gerard left the meeting during the course of the discussion on this application. She is therefore prevented from voting on this application. So we can come now to the vote, but Councillor Gerard is clear that she cannot take part. So we have a proposal by...
I'm very sorry, Chair. I've made a note of two suggested additional conditions or amendments to existing conditions that have been discussed. The first was in relation to adding something to the landscaping condition to include reference to details of nest boxes, particularly swift boxes, being included in the landscaping scheme. And also there was some suggestion of whether to add a condition or amend an existing condition that details, if that's an acceptable phrase, of the bin storage be submitted prior to commencement.
Chair.
Councillor Bentley.
Chair, as a proposer, I'd like to add both those two items to the recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you. Right. Councillor Bentley has proposed that we accept officer's recommendation. Councillor Lowe has seconded it, and they are both happy to have those amendments included in the permission. Is that correct? Right. So may I ask then, all those in favour of officer's recommendation?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Thank you. All right. And I will abstain, and is it possible to have my abstention recorded, please? Thank you. Well done, everyone. So Councillor Sart and Councillor Campsall would like to leave now because they cannot take part in the next application. So you are proposing to leave and not come back. Right. Michael, please.
There are two items on the agenda which follow the third application that the committee's been asked to determine. They are four information items which enable the committee their reporting decisions that have already been made, but are there for important transparency reasons and do enable the committee to ask questions. The meeting would be quorous if you didn't return for those, but I leave it to your judgment as to whether you think you should or shouldn't.
But next time, Council Council, I expect a note from your mother. And Councillor Snart.
Chair, can I suggest that we all have 5 minutes?
Yes, of course. Okay.